Welcome to another edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump. Thanks for joining me on this episode. This episode is brought to you by KMC Coaching, where we help you lead more to reach more. If you want to learn more about how you can lead more to reach more in 2020, you need to check out the amazing coaching groups that launch in January of 2020. Or for a more personalized approach and one-on-one, there's only 5 spots left for one-on-one coaching slots. So head over to kmccoach.net, sign up for a free 30-minute phone call where you can hear about the details and answer all your questions about what coaching is involved in 2020 for you. Again, KMC Coaching, to help you lead more to reach more. Now, in this episode, my guest and I tackle a great topic that so many ministry leaders struggle with. How do I lead up and how do I lead out? So many leaders want more influence with their senior leaders, but struggle with how do I get their attention? Well, in today's episode, we're answering those questions. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy this episode of the KMC Podcast. And welcome to another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name is Tom Bump, and I'm your host. In this edition, in this program today, I want to tackle a topic that, if you're like me, you've struggled with. A lot of times, those of us in kid ministry, we've struggled with the idea of leading up. We want to make changes in our ministries, in our strategy. And so before we can go ahead with that, we need to push that up the hill to our senior leaders. And sometimes if we don't do a good job of that, it can create gaps. And we're going to talk about what that means and how that can be a negative, but also how can we lead up in a positive way. So my guest today has learned some things about that idea, and I'm really excited because it's the first time he's been on the KMC with me. Jason Underhill, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.
Thanks, Tom. It's exciting to be here, and thanks for asking me to be on the KMC.
Yeah, well, we're super excited about having you on. Tell people a little about who you are and where you're serving and what you kind of do right now.
Yeah, so I'm actually going on in the middle of my 20th year of ministry, which is kind of crazy to think about when I look back. Started in August of 2000, so technically in August of 2019 will be 20 years of ministry.
All right.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, can't believe that. But fun stuff at the same time. So married, I've been married now, it'll be 23 years coming up in July. We have 5 kids, range from 16 down to 9. Our 2 youngest are twins, and we adopted them from Ethiopia. So they keep us on our toes and busy throughout the week along with ministry. So it's fun. A lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad that, you know, it's nice to talk to somebody who's been in ministry for a while too. So we need more of that. That's for sure. Yeah. So, hey, thanks for being a part of this. Like I said in the introduction, we're one of the huge challenges for kid ministry leaders, for any leader, when you're not the senior leader, is that idea of helping lead up and communicate properly. And so I want to dive right in on this topic because I think this is really important. And let me ask you, why do you think leaders struggle with that idea of leading up and communicating to their senior leadership?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think fear is one of the things that people have with that, and just not understanding how they can their influence can actually help lead up. And so fear sets in. Maybe they think they won't be heard. The idea isn't what the senior leader is even looking for. So there's kind of this selfish piece to that. But in reality, they want to hear from us and they want to know. But deep down, there's maybe a fear in that. Or maybe it could be from a past experience. Maybe every time that they've gone to the leader, the new situation or something comes up, it's always negative. And so they just quit asking. I've seen that across the board. But one thing that I've learned over the years, it helped me. Somebody actually gave me this book, How to Lead from the Second Chair. It's really for executive pastor somewhat, but I consider any position you're at, you're really leading from a second chair. And so there was a quote in there that helped me even to think about this in a different way. It said, you may have setbacks or feelings of loneliness because no one seems to understand your dreams, but God does. And I think we have to dream from where we are and ask God to give us that exponential influence. because God's at work in a greater way than we even realize. And so sometimes our dreams remind ourselves to dream. And sometimes there are setbacks, but don't give up and don't give in to that fear.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I'm going to have to find that book for sure. So, yeah, those are some definite struggles. And I think as a leader, I've struggled with that too, that, yeah, if you get rejected once or twice, mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, well, I don't know if I think I'm going to hold that idea.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'll just fly under the radar a while instead of pushing that up. So that's good. I think that's a very true big fear you know, somebody told me once that's often, you know, it is not a good thing, because we fear man more than we fear God then sometimes, is what we're ultimately doing. If we know that God's leading us in a direction and we don't, you know, communicate that to our leaders, then we fear them more than we fear God.
That's exactly right. I think we see that play out a lot of times, and then we miss out on God's blessing because mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. And really, we're being disobedient rather than obedient because mm-hmm. of the lack of fear and willing to step up.
Yeah, yeah. So over the years, as you've worked with senior leaders above you, when it comes to your relationship with them, how did you open up communication with them? How did you start bridging some of that gap so that you could kind of move beyond fear?
Yeah, some of it's just getting to know them relationally. But one of the things I learned is, as I learned who their personality, what their personalities were and things like that. But I would kind of come in, I still do this today. I'll just say, hey, I've been thinking about something. Maybe you've seen this or possibly been thinking about this as well. So it also engages them. I don't know if they've been thinking about the situation or not, but at least it says maybe they have. So it adds to them thinking maybe we might be on the same page. So there's an even playing field to start with. I also try to like to maybe even ask them a question, saying like, you know, I've noticed this or seen this. Would it be all right if I put a plan together, or maybe seek out advice from others about that particular situation, just report back to you? And so I try to go with an open hand kind of approach so that they can see that I'm trying to work alongside them. There's not something personal involved with that, right. But present the issue in a new idea. And be sure to have a solution. I think that's the key, is anytime you do approach a new solution or have an idea, have a solution with it that has a detailed plan of action, not just a flippant idea, but it's detailed. And I found when there is a problem or a new idea to present, it's always best to be prepared with a solution that is also realistic and not just something that's thrown out there on a whim, but that they can tangibly see. It might be something small, but it gets kind of a coin in your pocket, so to speak. So that as you build it, it adds into further things down the road.
Oh, that's really good, because, I think sometimes we make the mistake of, well, you know, when the pastor says, well, what do you want to do? Well, I've got some great ideas for some stuff.
Right.
I don't know if there's any senior pastors that ever listen to this podcast, but I could almost hear the eye roll. And I've seen it, because I've done it. That's the thing. You're sitting here and I'm listening to you and I'm like, I know early on in my ministry, there were times I had these fantastic ideas that, you know, I came home from a conference and I had this big thing in my head that, man, I'm doing this, you mm-hmm. know, but I had no clue how to put it to, you know, to make the rubber meet the road. I just had this idea. I had stuff that I wanted to accomplish, and I'd go charging into my senior pastor's office all revved up. And when he would ask for specifics, I didn't have a clue. Yeah. I knew where I wanted to go. I just didn't know how to get there. So I do think that really builds credibility on your part as a professional, as a leader, when you come to them prepared. I like that too, your point of getting to know them relationally and their personality. I think those are important things that sometimes we don't take advantage of. And I'm not saying that in a negative, take advantage of, but
no, yeah.
We're not doing it enough. When we don't understand their personality type, then, you know, I mean, I had a pastor who was very bullet point oriented, and I'm a storyteller. I drove him crazy for the first couple months. Right. And then he finally said, hey, you know what? just come to me with some 3 points. I don't need all the stories. He said, if you want to tell me one story, that's cool. But just give me 3 points, 4 points of why you want to do this. You know, tell me why you want to do it, how much it's going to cost, you know, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Be right to the point. And let's go. And boy, that paid off. You know, I began to speak his love language then. You know,
yeah.
he didn't want three stories in one bullet point. He wanted 3 bullet points in one story. So that's good. That's good. I'm glad you brought those things up, because I think those are good, solid suggestions for a leader to think about when you're building those relationships. So What are some of the challenges you've encountered over the years when you're working with senior leaders? Because I know we all come up with some things like that.
Yeah, sometimes. I think a lot of times what I've found is they don't necessarily understand exactly where we're coming from, or we feel it that way personally. Sometimes we take it personally, but also they've not been in the same position that we're in. And so for me, what I've learned is having clear communication. I know that's easier said than done, but having that and understanding of the situation is key. Mm. I think they need to understand exactly what's at stake before presenting the issues or problem solving, all that, but just say, I want you to sit in my shoes for a little bit. I want you to see what I see. And I don't necessarily see everything they see, but they see it at a different level than we do. And so we got to take that into consideration to also think about, well, how does my senior leader see it potentially from his point of view? And so that helps me when I go into it. I've got to look at it, not just in my eyes, but in their eyes as well. And when you help them to see your point of view, but also see theirs and put those together, it helps them to understand that and gives you a voice at the table. But when you rely just specifically on your own ideas or thoughts that don't necessarily think about their point of view, it can be seen, or maybe they may take offense to that or think that you're stepping on their toes. I think in a lot of ways, I do think some senior leaders are threatened sometimes. I've had that happen, unfortunately, with a couple of leaders that I've had where they felt like they were being threatened by my ideas and concepts because they were taking it personal that they didn't come up with the idea or whatever. And it wasn't anything personal, but because I was just somewhat, I guess you say, you know, under them, I'm trying to lead up, but they took offense to that because it wasn't their own. And so you have to kind of watch that and watch that line. That was something that was a challenge for me. I had to learn a little bit the hard way to kind of come in. And I coached another guy on the side, and he had a situation just this last month with this same actual situation that you're kind of discussing with his senior leader. He's like, I come up with all these ideas, but my senior pastor came up to me and just said, you got to stop these ideas. You're making me look bad. I was like, oh my goodness, red flag, red flag. I said, well, hey, let's take a step back. And let's think it from his perspective. You've got maybe these great ideas, but think about your approach. You know, say, hey, is this okay? Am I stepping on toes? Am I seeing what you're seeing? I want to help. I see these things, but I don't want it to be something where it looks like it's coming from me, but I want to be able to enhance your ministry. I want to help you as the senior leader, that you get the credit for that. So that's the other thing. I think they want to make sure that they still see themselves as the leader, but also that you're helping them get the church to go to the level they want to and not feel like it's being undermined in some capacity.
Wow. Hey, that's good. I appreciate that too. So over the years, I'm sure you've kind of figured out some best practices, and you've kind of mentioned a couple of things along the way, but when you're wanting to approach that leader with some new ideas, you've got a concept, you've got a strategy that you want to see happen. What are some of those best ways to go in and approach it?
Yeah. And you touched on it a little bit, is kind of like your situation where your senior leader needed bullet points versus this big dissertation or whatever. I do think one of the key practices I've learned is knowing their personality. That really is a key component and approach, is knowing how they work, how they operate. So like you were saying, I've learned to kind of figure out, okay, do they need bullet points? Some of them do like the 10-page thesis or whatever. They want all that. And so you have to know what's best on how to speak their language so that they can understand it. But also just takes time to get to know and build relationships. So one of the things I try to do is to not just build relationship, but take time to meet with them over time. Like, don't throw everything all at once at them. Give them a couple of things, options. have an opportunity just to process. I think a lot of times we think we want them to have the answer, or here's my idea, and they want it. You want them to say yes right then. It's like they need time to process this and maybe ask some more questions. So I think the great thing is say, hey, here's some a couple ideas I have. Can you process this? What are some of the gaps maybe that I may be not thinking about that you see? So you build them and bring them alongside you in the process so that they feel like it's a team-oriented thing. It's not just you on an island. I think that helps with as well. Mm-hmm. In that process. So,
mm-hmm. Wow, those are good. Those are good. You know, oftentimes, you know, we get a chance to do some things and we get that support. And like I said, you know, we see the change coming and, you know, at first they're on board with us and then all of a sudden some opposition rises up, mm-hmm. Inevitably. I mean, imagine that in the church, we have people that complain on occasion.
Never, never.
and you know, and sometimes that it's enough to change a senior leader's mind. You know, 'cause all of a sudden they saw gaps where they didn't see them before. And so then all of a sudden, wow, that opposition seems huge. And so then they say, okay, now we've got to change back. Mm-hmm. Why do you think some of those gaps occur, you know, in a senior leader's position, you know, 'cause you're leading a team. And so I'm sure sometimes you've had that where all of a sudden you've seen gaps that you didn't see before. So why does that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's something that we'd love to have answered all the time because we'd love to have that gap filled. And I was, as you say that, I was thinking more or less, I think it's a communication piece. I think we take for granted the communication part of it, not only between our senior leader, but also with those we oversee. That maybe what I've noticed is we sometimes tell our senior leader one thing and we don't tell maybe our volunteers everything that we've told our senior leader. And so they miss out on really the big picture. We think they can't handle maybe the big picture, when in reality, they have a lot more opportunity to expand that. And they want to be a part of that process, but we are hesitant to give them that big picture for whatever reason. And so when they start seeing things change really quick, then they go back to the senior leader and it's like, whoa, what happened here? And I think it's a communication piece is what I see as a huge gap between the two.
Wow. I like that too, because I think if we're not careful, and sometimes I think, at least I've been guilty of this too, confession's good for the soul.
Yeah.
Is the idea that I think I've told my leader all those things, or I think I've told the volunteer team that. And I've said it in my mind. It's like when you proofread your own stuff. Yes. You fill in the gaps, you know, even though the error's still there, you know, and I wrote something the other day and published it. And then a friend of mine immediately texted me and said, did you proofread that? And I'm like, yeah, I did. And he's like, did you read it out loud? No, I just read it. And he's like, yeah, read it out loud again. And I went back. I'm like, oh, crud. And so I pulled it back down and, you know, ran it through a couple of different editing programs.
Yeah.
And then I hit the audio button and listened to the computer read it to me, and even found a couple more spots where I was like, yeah, I could smooth that out. And I think sometimes that's, you're right. I think that we create gaps for the opposition because we think we've communicated properly. We've given enough vision, enough why behind what we do, you know, we think we've got it covered, and instead we've just deepened that gap. So as we look at that, then the idea then comes, the questions asked, begs to be asked, is, so what do you do to prevent the gaps? What are some of those things that you found, to work well?
One of the things there's a couple of things. One specifically kind of builds upon that last one is I try to repeat the vision, repeat those things that are trying to happen, over and over. It's almost to a redundancy, I feel like, at times. But at the same time, I can't remember. It's not that I can't remember, but at the same time, our leaders need to hear that over and over so that they get it. Because sometimes what we say doesn't always connect at first. And so the more I repeat things, the more I envision that I repeat, the more they get it. It's almost like they catch it eventually. And so I've gone to leaders, volunteers, and I'll say, hey, I may have told you this before, forgive me if I have, but I just want to make sure that you know what's coming up. And so they also, it gives them the freedom to step in and say, hey, yes, let me start. And they're like, yes, I have told you, or no, I don't remember you telling me that. And that's a great segue to remind them that I may have not communicated that to you before. I may have thought in my mind that I've told that individual about that particular thing that we're working on or not. And the other thing that I've done is I've created a ministry team. I hope one of the greatest things I've learned in the years is to put together a ministry team of volunteers that come alongside me in the process where I'm not doing it alone. Yes. But we meet once a month, or I have my team do the same thing. And so that's what I'm doing with my team currently here at Austin Ridge, is trying to raise our leaders here, our my staff team, to put together a team of people that walk alongside them that can be your advocates, that can be that point person to help you put out fires if there are any, but you communicate with them once a month. Here's where we're going. Here's where we're headed.
That's good.
And then they can also be the ones that we, you know, allow them to lead out as well in their roles. And so when a volunteer speaks to another volunteer and they're saying the same thing that we're trying to say as a staff, it has so much more influence, so much more equity in what we're trying to do and to accomplish. And then we're moving the ball up the field. But if there is that negative stuff, they've now heard the heart behind where the vision is, where we're headed, and then they can speak into that person and really negate that situation from going to a senior leader before it gets out of hand.
Mm. I like that. I like the idea. So, you know, if you're listening, it doesn't matter how big of a church you're in, finding a group of people, finding those key influencers, that can help you, that really does help. And I think it even protects the senior leader too, because they know that other people have their backs too. Mm-hmm. And I think any senior leader wants to know that as a staff, you have his back, her back, and that you're willing to, you know, have a group of people to help with that. So that, I like that a lot. And I think people need to think that through. How can they get other influencers involved when the decisions are made to support? That's good. So over time, like you said, okay, you know, I mean, we know that phrase, vision leaks. So you got to keep repeating it. You obviously have to work hard at keeping communication channels open. Uh-huh. So what have you found works to keep keep communication flowing both directions?
Yeah, it's really relationally. I really believe it's that. I know I've kind of hinted at that already, but being personal, not only with the senior leader, but also your volunteer, it works both ways. It doesn't matter. But get to know them. I've found that the better I get to know them and find out what's going on in their own life, what matters to them, it helps me to show that I care. And I really do care, but then they see that I really care, and it opens up that communication to where when I have those conversations, I'm not just shooting the breeze. It's like business all the time, but it's showing that there's a personal side to it, so that when we do have those heart-to-heart conversations, they're more willing to listen because they know that I care. They really they can have empathy with what I'm maybe dealing with. They know the hurts, the pains. You know, be honest with your senior leader about what's really going well, what's not going well. And when you're honest about those types of things, don't hide anything from them with those communication pieces. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we can do, is if we make it seem like everything's all rosy and everything's great, and then there's a hiccup, they're like, where did that come from? It just comes out of the blue. But when you're open and honest about it from the get-go, they have a trust that's there, there's integrity that's there, and they're willing to work with you to say, because they understand there's ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster. But that personal relationship helps bridge that gap anytime those situations come up. So you don't lose a phrase I've had, that change in your pocket, so to speak, as you continue to gain leadership and gain influence with your senior leader.
Good. I like that. Yeah. I don't ever want my pastor to get a history lesson. That's a sure way to updating your resume. I'll put it that way.
Yes.
You do that a few times and man, yeah, you're going to wound your credibility and you're going to lose all the change in your pocket for sure.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that. And they don't want that.
No.
So yeah, I think that's something that, if you've had hiccups in the past with this, one of the best ways to win your pastor back is to make sure that they know what's going on and you're keeping them updated. And I do like that. I've always tried to make the habit I know for me is just asking my pastor, is there anything I can do for you?
Yes.
And it's amazing when I'm offering that. And you know, that gives me miles. And I don't do that as motivation to say, well, if I do this, then down the road, he's going to say yes to all my wild dreams. Yeah. Cause he still has the full privilege of saying no.
Exactly right.
And it's probably good he does say no sometimes. But it's one of those things that I'm glad, that I take the time because it does show him that I care about him and his family and want to know how they're doing and how can I pray for him and those kind of things. How can I serve? So I think that's good. I think that really does help keep communication channels wide open and that's a good thing. So as we get ready to wrap up a little bit here, what's some of the advice that you'd give to leaders? You know, they're new leaders coming into ministry. You know, you've been doing this for 20 years. We got a lot of leaders that are out there that are just brand new. There's a lot that have come into the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group that are brand new to ministry. So what advice would you give to them about leading up and doing it really well?
Yeah. I've got five things I think that would be helpful for anyone in this. And these are the five things I even use when I try to lead up to my senior leader to think about it. First, foremost, is just to pray to make sure that I know that I go to God and before, and I ask him as I say, God, just go before me and prepare the way. Kind of like Nehemiah, great example of Nehemiah. Yes. He went, you know, he went to the king. He saw the need that was there. He saw what was happening to his people. Yet before he did anything, he prayed. And he asked God to go before him, and God showed favor. And so more times than not, I think that's something as leaders, we assume that they'll listen to us, or out of fear, we forget to do that, like I said at the beginning. Yeah. But if we go and ask God to go before us, every time I've done that, God opens that door, and the communication is so much better between both of us, and we're on the same page. But you can see where God's hand's at work in that. So that's the first and most important part, I believe. Second is just to be patient and discerning. In the process, know when the best time is to approach your senior leader. As you get to know them personally, kind of know their schedule, you'll kind of see a rhythm and you'll know when opportunities exist to be able to present maybe the things that you want to present. You know, if he's just come out of this long, huge meeting and you can just see the tiredness, that's not a great time to go and ask.
Yeah, right.
So just kind of know the rhythm. When's a good time to do that? And be discerning with that, because timing, I think, is everything with leading up with your leader as well. And that goes back, it still reiterates going back to number one. Three is take the initiative to follow up yourself. Don't allow your senior leader to have to do the follow-up on whatever you're asking for the ideas. I think it's great if you yourself can take the initiative and give reports back to him or her, depending on who you report to, so that you can help show that you're leading up and leading out. That makes a big difference. I think a lot of times we assume they should come and check on us, but it shows us being a leader by going to them and saying, hey, here's where I'm at in this. Here's what's happening. This didn't go well, or this did go well, but I want you to be aware of this, or here's how I'm tweaking it. And that just goes a long way. I've learned that. That's huge. So take the initiative with that. Fourth is I like to set up monthly meetings with that senior leader. Not all senior leaders, they all work differently. Some will say, hey, I want to meet with you each month or something like that. But if not, this is a key thing that I found is so important, is just I want to be able to meet with you. And so you go and you're proactive in doing that. You set that up yourself and say, I want to meet with you each month. What's a good time that works for you? And just set it on the calendar. You can even set it up for the whole year. But that's where you share that, the good, the bad, the ugly stuff, and be open and honest. And especially don't give that false picture of what's happening. And then fifth and last that I thought of is definitely be proactive rather than reactive. A lot of times we react so much in ministry, we're not being proactive in what we're doing or trying to think ahead. And so try to think and dream big dreams because in the right time, because of our careful detail and seeing ahead, it can lead to great things with your senior leader.
Wow, Jason, that's gold, man. I like that. Well, pray. Be patient, take initiative, set up meetings, be proactive rather than reactive. Good stuff. I really think that's going to help a lot of leaders. So if you're dreaming big for 2020, these are some great principles to start thinking about. And I like how you said that, leading up and leading out. Mm-hmm. I like that because we really do need to lead up, but we also need to lead out. And if our leaders see us doing that, that's gonna go a long way. So that's good. I'm glad you said that. Good wisdom. Hey man, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk this through with me, because I think this is an area, like I said, where I know a lot of leaders tend to struggle in kid ministry world with how do I do this better. And so if we all commit together to making it better for our leaders, it's gonna take more ground for the kingdom for sure. And so I think that's really good.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate you having me and having just the opportunity to share some of the things I've learned over the years on this topic. And it's something you deal with all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if somebody wants to touch base with you or follow you on social media, how can they connect up with you?
Yeah. So it's pretty simple. On Twitter, it's at Jason Underhill. Same for that on Instagram, at Jason Underhill. And then my email, that may be another great way to reach out, is just jason.underhill at austinridge.org.
Awesome. Well, hey, again, thanks for taking time to join me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. As always, guys, if there's anything that I can do for you, if you're looking for coaching, if you want to start off 2020 in a good way, there are openings in KMC coaching. Would love to help you out. You always got the Facebook group. If you're not there, we encourage you to come join the KMC Facebook group. And if you haven't subscribed to the KMC podcast yet, go ahead and do that. And we'd love for you to leave a rating too. That always helps us get out there a little bit more, as we want to help equip and sharpen and encourage the kid ministry community. So thanks for listening, and join me again for another edition of the KMC. You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.